Good morning. It is good to be back. We got to experience snow on Monday when we went up to Lake Louise. So we got it before. And it was beautiful to be up there with all the other pastors in our network, our region here, as we gather together. It's called prayer retreat, but for me, it wasn't much of a retreat. It was a lot of business meetings, a lot of networking, a lot of exciting things, though, as we talked about what it looked like to extend the hand of Jesus to people around us in our different communities that we are in, and the resources and things that we can use in order to do that well. Because sometimes we don't overly do that all that well. And it was good to be gathered together and hear from other pastors within our district here as they shared the word with us throughout the week. As we talked about what it meant to be together in Christ, in unity with one another. This morning we're going to continue on in our series in soul care. As we look at this and get freedom from the things that are holding us back in our lives. And this morning I want to start with an illustration for us. And as we think about this illustration, I think all of us are going to be able to relate to this in one way or another. And the reality is that all of us do this, whether we like it or not. I'm sure some of us would prefer that we didn't do it or that it didn't affect us in the ways that it does. But that's just not reality for any of us. And so as we walk through this morning, as we talk about the soul care topic today, this one hopefully in some ways will hit real deep for us and begin to be a catalyst of change for each one of us in this room. And so I want to start with this idea that we are all created in the image of God. Right? That's scriptural. That's right there. It's something that we can't really argue with. We're created in the image of God as God created human beings, and we came into this world without much baggage, any baggage in our lives. And there comes points and times where each one of us, something happens. A wound begins to form within our lives, within our emotional, mental, spiritual lives, more than we can talk about with just physical wounds that we all deal with. We know what those are like as well. But things begin to happen to each one of us. I'm going to share three different things that have happened to me and how they've created the wounds that I deal with. And I share these kind of as we go, but the first one, I'm going to start a little bit later in life for me. Once I entered into church, I started surrounding myself with different people, different mentors in my life, people who could lead me and guide me and give me good direction for what my life could look like. And I surrounded myself with three guys in particular. It was a youth pastor, a youth leader, and then a small group leader. All of these guys were very influential in my life growing up. I was new to church. I was new to faith. I spent countless hours with these individuals. And then, one by one, they started to move away. Have you ever had people move away that you cared about, that invested deeply into you? Right? One went to Mexico to be a missionary. One went to Africa to be a missionary. And the other one just moved across Canada. And you know what I said to myself? Because this all happened within 6 months of each other. They must be moving because of me. And that was a lie I told myself. And so what began to happen after that moment with those three individuals is I built something, and Colton and Mason are going to recognize these, maybe. I started building walls in my life to protect myself. And so what I said to myself when those people left, pretend that's Adam. What I started to do is I started to say, I can't get close to anybody again. Because the moment I get close to somebody is the moment they're going to leave me. Have any of you dealt with something like that before? Now that I'm a little bit older, I've realized that they didn't move because of me. They moved because they felt God calling them somewhere else, doing some incredible work. I'm still connected to all three of them. But at that tender age, that teenage age where I was just discovering who I was in God, the three people who mattered the most to me in those moments left. They disappeared. I didn't know what to do. Go back a little bit further. Grade school. Being a good student was important to me at the time, but my dad always expected more of me. He wanted more. I'd come home with a good grade and he would only acknowledge what I was missing. 95, Adam, where's the other five? Oh, I'm not very good at this. My dad expects more of me. What do? Well, I build another wall. And what do with that wall? I say, no matter what I do, I'm not going to let anybody hurt me because of not measuring up to what their standards are. I will be the determiner of all my standards. I won't let anybody else tell me that I'm bad. I won't let anybody else tell me that I'm no good. I won't let anybody else tell me that I didn't measure up to whatever standard that they had for me. And so in building this wall in my life, in grade 10, specifically, I was in a class called Humanities, which is social studies and language arts together in one class. It's miserable. They're miserable separate, but they're double miserable together. And I wanted to do a test to see what my dad would say by getting as low of a grade as I possibly could. You got 10% in that class for simply showing up every day. I showed up every day, and I got 7. And my dad's response to me was, where's the other 93? It didn't really matter what I did, how good it was or how bad it was. My dad only looked at what the negative was, what was missing in my life. So I wanted to protect myself from everybody else. The last one is, I was the third boy in my family. My brother's 7 years older. My other brother's 5 years older. I wasn't supposed to be, according to my parents. And because my mom became pregnant with me, I was supposed to be her little girl. The last one. That was what she wanted. And she was incredibly disappointed when I arrived on the scene. A little while later, I was about 2 years old. My mom dressed me up, took a picture. I didn't see it again until I was 11. At 11 years old, as a young man, you're trying to figure out who you are and where you measure up in the world. And I found this picture of me dressed up in a ballerina outfit. It's burned. And what did that tell me? That my mother rejected me. I don't think she meant that. Actually, I know she didn't mean that. But that's what it told 11-year-old Adam. And thus, those are some main walls that I carried in order to protect myself to live life. So what did I do with that one? I wanted to show my mom how manly I could be. So I became very toxic. One of the things I did is I worked out every single day, twice a day, to show her how buff I could get. I became very controlling, very manipulative. I wanted to be in fights all the time because I needed to show people how much of a man I was. And that's all I knew at the time. And so thus created woundings in my life. And woundings that I figured that I had to learn how to protect them, how to heal them on my own, what to do with them all. And so now as you reflect on your own life, I'm sure you can start looking back at things in your life that have happened that have created moments for you to build walls in your life. To protect yourself, we think. But in actuality, it does the exact opposite. It just continues to harm us further because we're trying to be the ones to heal ourselves. we're trying to be the ones to control the narrative. And instead, we have to learn to let Jesus into the picture so we can actually experience true healing of our woundings. So, we move into healing wounds today, because these are the things that are holding us back. I love this quote from Rob Reimer. It says, "Every healed wound becomes a window through which God's glory shines." Oh, I mean, that sounds good. And even better, it looks good too. When you're in a room with people who have walked through their wounding and have Jesus restore their soul, somebody put it as that stained glass picture, the light shining through and creating this beautiful image of what God has done in somebody's life. Beautiful picture for us as we think about this part of who we are in our lives. So we're going to work through a few things here this morning. The first thing is that we need to recognize the wounds. So it's what I did for us this morning. I recognize the wounds that I am carrying, the walls that I have built because of them. Now, gratefully, I can say that the walls in my life are about half the height now. They're still there. But I've had to learn how to work through and walk through and deal with the walls as they continue to show themselves to me. But we need to learn to recognize the wounds that we're carrying. You see, and I think partly really we do this really well in the church. When we talk about our woundings that we have faced in life, when we talk about the hurts that we have had, we do a really good job of doing something called sweeping them under the rug. Don't show weakness. Don't show the pain. Don't show the hurt. It's really not that big of a deal. Right? That's how we've handled things. That's how we handle things in our own homes. That's how we handle things within our own lives sometimes, is we don't want to bother anybody else. We don't want to make it look like we're weak. We don't want to make it look like we don't have it all together. And so we just sweep it under the rug and just don't deal with it. And what's wrong with that? Those wounds get infected. Those wounds seep into other areas of our life. The woundings that we carry seep into our marriages, our friendships, us being parents, our siblings, us being kids. If we're unwilling to recognize the wound, it actually dissipates into every arena of our life. I have carried all three of these wounds into my marriage. And each one of them have played out in very different ways. I carry them into raising my children, and they all carry themselves out in very different ways. And unless I'm willing to recognize the wounding and what it's doing to me in the moments, I will never experience the freedom from them that I want to experience. So think about it in your own world. Well, here's what the psalmist has to say to us from Psalm 34:18. "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit." The Lord has come so that we don't have to carry these wounds on our own, but that we can give them to Him. That He is there to save us from the things, that the iniquities that we are carrying. The Lord is there. Psalm 147 verse 3 says this: "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Could you imagine if we try to do all of that ourselves all the time? Binding up our own wounds. Maybe let's think even just physically now. If one of my favorite things to do is to watch NFL football. And this year, out of any other year that I can remember, I've seen more dramatic injuries in athletes than ever before. And I can just imagine what it would look like for us if we said, just stand up and keep going. After I've seen some of them, I won't go into details. But what do? We go to others for help in those moments. And we go to doctors for those types of things in our lives. And they help us. We look outside of ourselves for somebody who has the expertise, the willingness, the knowledge to lead us to where we need to go. And yet when we talk about the deep-seated pain in our souls, where are we supposed to turn? We're supposed to turn to Jesus because he's the one who knows how to deal with it. And yet we continue to live our lives with fists clenched, holding on, saying, I'm going to take care of it. I know better than anybody else. Most of you know that I had foot surgery about a month and a half ago, and I'm finally in shoes. It feels great. I went and played basketball on Friday night, and Jen said, well, what does the doctor say about that? I say, well, the doctor's now Jesus, so Jesus says I can go. I tried to spiritualize it. But all of a sudden, again, I took it into my hands and said, I'm going to go and try this anyway. I'm not going to call my doctor, even though Jen's probably right, and I probably should get a second opinion on if I should go and do this or not. And yet that's how we live our lives, even in our emotional pain and baggage that we carry, is we could go talk to somebody. We could reach out to somebody else. And yet we say, no, I'm going to keep it under the rug because that's a safer place, because I don't want to get hurt again by somebody. Think about the first wound I talked about where if I get close to people, they just leave. It's easier for me to bottle it up and keep it to myself than to invite others into the journey with me. Reimer says, we cannot heal what we refuse to acknowledge. Pain that is buried alive never dies. I hope. This is not a very good hope to have for you, but that something's bubbling to the surface a little bit here. That some pain that has been inflicted upon you at some point in time, that you have buried and you have just ignored in your life, is starting to rise to the surface. And that is getting uncomfortable a little bit. Because it's in that uncomfort that healing begins to happen in our lives. Next thing that we have to do, we have to invite Jesus into the pain. Isaiah 61, which Jesus later references in Luke chapter 4, says this, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus' primary mission on earth is to come so that we can be mended back again. Think of his words in John 10:10, and it's a verse that we have quoted here fairly frequently. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus' sole mission on this earth so that you could have fullness of life in him. So we need to invite Jesus into the pain that we are experiencing. One of the things that you would gather maybe out of the book Soul Care by Rob Reimer is that you can't reason your way to healing. You must experience the healer. You can't reason your way to healing, but you need to experience the healer. Healing comes through encounter, he says, not just through information. How many of us ignore information that we get? Or we might say, oh, that doesn't apply to me. I'm different than that information. Every time you go to a doctor and they perform surgery, they do something, they usually give you a time frame as to when you'll be back to normal activities again, right? Many of us have been there. Many of us have had those kinds of things happen. And what's your response? Oh, I'll be there before the doctor says it. Right. That's always my goal, anyway. Doctor says 9 to 12 months. I'm like, I'll be there in 6. Let me show you. Right, I think back of a couple weeks. I'm going to use you, Ernie, as an example here. Ernie was in the hospital. We prayed for Ernie and the things there. And I went in there, and he said to me, I'm going to be on stage on Sunday. And I said, you don't rush back, Ernie. And then Evelyn called in sick. And Ernie was forced to not be on stage on Sunday. Because he was going to be, right? He told us that. I don't think the doctor didn't give him orders to not be, but, you know. But we do that, don't we? Healing comes through an encounter, not just through information. There was a phrase that I knew coming into church, and I was going to say growing up in church, but through the mentors that I had in my life, and that phrase was, God loves you. That's a pretty common phrase that we use in church, right? God loves you. God loves you. I knew that information about who I was, and yet for whatever reason in my life, I didn't actually believe it. God loves you. You know, that phrase that God uses when Jesus comes up out of the waters of baptism, this is my son in whom I am well pleased and I love him. I heard those phrases. Countless times, I sat in pews and listened to pastors preach about how much God loves you. And even in the midst of my life, I still believed that God couldn't love me because I wasn't man enough. I didn't measure up to some standards that were set, and everybody left me when trouble arose. Until one day, and this encounter happened, and it was with Jen's dad, who's Nancy's here, but he's not, so I can say this and don't tell him. In my lowest moment of my life where I felt like everybody should leave me, he called me and said, Adam, you're my son and I love you, and hung up the phone. I didn't just know the information now. I encountered something much larger, much greater in my life in that moment. That moment was Jesus healing the inner wounds of my life because he was now invited in to something into my life. And it was through a catalyst of somebody else who showed me what it looked like to love somebody regardless of what was going on in their lives. We need to invite Jesus into the pain that we've had before we can move forward. The next thing that we need to do is we need to forgive. And this has been a topic a couple weeks already, that we need to learn to forgive. We need to forgive those who have wounded you. A little while ago, I had a conversation with my dad about not measuring up to his standards. And I said, Dad, I never felt like I could be good enough for you. And his response was, I just knew you had more in you. And so I carried this wounding for about 20 years of feeling like I never measured up because my dad never thought I measured up. And all he said was, you just had more in you. I didn't know how to bring it out in you, though. Oh. Okay. And we're good. It was that simple. But yet the wounding still carries. The wounding is still there. And it comes up in the most silly areas of my life that we won't go into today. And so I had to walk a path of forgiving Dad. I walked a path of forgiving Mom for that picture. And part of the process of forgiving Mom for that picture was burning it, wiping it from existence. Still here, though. I still remember it. But it doesn't hold the same bondage to my life as it once did. I don't need to be in the gym twice a day anymore, as you can tell. And then the third one, everybody leaves if I get close. Everybody disappears. I have learned to continue to be vulnerable with people and invite people into relationship regardless if they're going to leave or not. Because there's no way to live a life being that guarded all the time with people. And it has brought me incredible freedom in my life. A few years ago, I was 35, I entered into a mentoring relationship with Dave Hearn, former president of the Alliance. And I remember our first meeting together, and he said, tell me your story. And I said, do you want the pastoral version or the real one? He said, I need to hear the real one. And the whole time I was telling him the story, all of these woundings started coming back up again. Like, I'm not going to measure up. He's, in essence, he's really my boss. And if I tell him everything about my life, everything that has gone on, I'm not going to have a job anymore. And yet I still leaned into the vulnerability part of it. And him and I, to this day, 4 years later, still connect. Still mentors me. Still walks through various issues that I go through right here. And it's because I've chosen not to allow the fear of people leaving to dictate how close I get to them. So, we need to forgive. Ephesians 4, 31, 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Remember, there's that caveat that we forgive because he first forgave us. We model after what Jesus has done for each one of us to those in our lives. We talked about the story when we talked about forgiveness of the master who forgave a slave and the slave who didn't forgive the other slave, and then the master shunned him for that. We need to forgive as Christ forgave us. And why is that important for us? Reimer says these words, forgiveness is the doorway to inner healing. The more we carry inner bitterness, inner rage against somebody else, resentment towards anybody, we are not going to experience the inner healing that we need to experience in order to move forward with God. If I didn't learn what it meant to forgive mom and dad and those individuals who left me, then I wouldn't have experienced the inner healing that I continue to experience as I grow up in my life. When we were in Thailand back in March, two of those individuals were in Thailand with us. And I got to sit down and share life together with them once again. Ministry, personal, and pray for one another in ways that we've never done before. Because we're colleagues, we're peers now, not just mentors and mentees. But if I would have walked that journey of forgiveness with them, I would have avoided them at all costs in that area. Avoided any sort of measure of vulnerability with them. And we need to learn to forgive because it's the doorway to inner healing. And this is going to lead us into probably our most important area. We need to replace the lie with God's truth. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the lies that we carry. I had the labels. I labeled myself with a number of them. And we walk through life with these lies about who we are. Things people say about us, things we say about ourselves. And we need to learn to replace the lie with God's truth. John 8, verse 31 to 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Reimer, in his videos, and those of you who have been with us on Thursdays have seen that part of the video, but he reminds us in those videos that verse 32 doesn't just, we can't forget about verse 31 when we read 32. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Before that, if you hold to my teaching, if you grasp it, if you embrace my teaching, then you know the truth and the truth will set you free. We need to learn to replace the lies with God's truth, which means we need to get to know and understand what Scripture says about who we are. So what are some things, what are some lies that we might be carrying around? Maybe something saying like, I'm unworthy. That would be something that would ring true for many in this room, that feeling of unworthiness in maybe all aspects of life. Here's what God says. You are my beloved. We go from this phrase of saying, I'm unworthy, but God saying, you are my beloved. Maybe you feel alone. Maybe you feel isolated in life. Maybe you feel like nobody cares about you. God says, I will never leave you. Maybe you feel powerless. You have no influence in the world, in your world around you. You have no control. God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Everything we have is found in God and is found in the truth of who He says we are. And in order for us to replace the lies that we're living with the truth, we have to know the truth. And knowing the truth means knowing Scripture. Knowing who we're created to be. Reimer says this about replacing lies with God's truth. Every wound carries a lie. Every healing requires truth. So think about that. Think about the walls that you've built, maybe or whatever you want to reference them as. They've all been built because of a lie in your life. I don't measure up. I'm rejected. I'm not good to be around. I'm not worth being around. And each one of those I had to replace with a truth in my life. No matter what you do, I love you, Adam. I have chosen you. And I sent my son for you. Three things that have shaped who I am to this day, now that I'm living away from those wounds that I've carried. So every wound carries a lie, and every healing requires truth. We need to replace the lies with truths in our life, in our world. Something I've seen that people have done is they've written them on their mirrors. They've identified the wounds, the lies that they have carried, and they've written the truths on their mirror. So every morning when they go to the bathroom, when they're getting ready, they see the truths right there, and it reminds them about who God has created them to be. We each need to find our spots to put the truth in to overcome the lies that we are carrying. Last thing that we need to do, we need to rebuild. We need to rebuild from a healed heart. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. How can we live a life that is marked by walls that we're living from? How can we live a life and care for other people when we don't know how to care for ourselves and for ourselves experience the inner healing that we need to walk through and walk with? Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Reimer says these words, healing leads to holiness and freedom. I want us to be reminded of a story in Scripture in Genesis. Joseph. One of my favorite stories to read. Joseph isn't liked by his brothers because he tells them about a dream where he's going to lord over them. Right? Younger siblings, don't do this to your brothers or sisters. Joseph's brothers didn't like it, and so they figured out a plan to get rid of their brother forever. They were going to kill their brother and just get rid of him. And instead, some of the brothers thought better and said, I don't want this on my hands. And so they instead sold their brother into slavery. That's one way to get rid of them. And they never thought they would see their brother again. They thought they were rid of him. They thought they weren't going to encounter him ever again. And then there's a famine in the land. And they go to Pharaoh to get help. And who's sitting there instead? And the one going to determine if the brothers get anything? Joseph. Imagine that moment for the brothers coming in there and seeing their little brother as the one they have to convince to give them food. That'd be an oh no moment for most of us, wouldn't it? We sold him into slavery. We got rid of our brother. We didn't like him anymore. And now he's the one going to determine if we get to eat or not. Here's Joseph's words near the end of his life. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph went through years of healing, years of forgiveness, years of acknowledging the wounding that he carried. And when the time came to be reintroduced to his siblings, his brothers, his family, he showed them what it looked like to encounter God and experience the healing that only God could provide. There. So what does this mean for us? What does it look like for us to experience this? What are the end results of all of this? Well, here's the thing. Jesus doesn't just patch our souls. He makes it new. When our heart is healed, we reflect the heart of the healer. I'll remind us of the quote that we used at the very beginning. Every healed wound becomes a window through which God's glory shines. When we allow God to heal us, then we reflect who he is to our world around us. It is only through the power of God that we show our world about who he is. Nothing we can do, nothing we can say does that, but it's only through God's witness in our lives. So, what wounds are you carrying? We need to bring the pain into the light so that God can be invited into the pain. And then we need to look at those around us and the wounds that we're carrying. We need to learn what it means to forgive those people. We need to then walk in the truths that God says about who we are and stop living in the lies that people have given us. And from there, we need to rebuild from a wounded heart. And so, friends, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you that we can gather here in this space together. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you so desire to heal each one of our hearts. Each one of us in this world has carried various wounds of all sorts of and kinds. So Jesus, we invite you into that space now. We invite you to heal the wounds that we have carried. So Jesus, reveal to us the wounds that we're still carrying, the ones that we're unwilling to let go, so that we may have fullness of life in you. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.